Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Today we're going to study 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 27. To 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 36. And in this particular passage of Scripture, we're going to find out about Eli and his sons and the continuation of his priesthood. And it's very important that we read this because it tells us a lot that's prophetic concerning Eli's sons and their offspring. It also tells us a lot about the priesthood going all the way out into the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. What the Lord says here through an unnamed man of God is so significant that the prophecy covers, at least from the time that it was given until now, over 3,000 years. And the things that are concerned in this prophecy go on for at least another 1,000 years. And you know, you might find that surprising in a book that is the history of going from the judges to the kings. Nevertheless, there's that prophecy here, and we're going to read it today. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 27. And there came a man of God unto Eli, and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? Answer, yes. He appeared to Moses and Aaron. Aaron is the first high priest, and Eli is an offspring of Aaron. Verse 28, And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? Answer, yes. Aaron was chosen out of the tribe of Levi as the priest, and the priesthood was then given to his sons. Question, And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Answer, yes. In those offerings that are made, sin offering, burnt offering, trespass offering, peace offering, those kind of things, those offerings provide a portion, when they're not totally burnt up, provide a portion for the priest. And he and his family live of that portion that is designated. Verse 29. Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Verse 30, Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, Be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thine house. And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation, in all the wealth which God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thine house forever. And the man of thine, whom I shall not cut off from mine altar, shall be to consume thine eyes and to grieve thine heart, and all the increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age. And this shall be a sign unto thee, that shall come upon thy two sons on Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them. And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left in thine house shall come and crouch to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread, and shall say, Put me, I pray thee, into one of the priest's offices, that I may eat a piece of bread. So basically what you see here in this prophecy is that the Lord says, you know something I'm going to do? I'm going to remove you from the priesthood. I'm going to make sure that your boys die young so that you won't have an old man in your household. And I'm going to raise up a faithful priest, but he's not going to come from your line, and he's going to walk before mine anointed forever. So what you see here is that Eli's house is coming to pieces. And Eli's house is going to lose the benefit of the prophecy given to Aaron and to his sons forever, because they stole the offerings of the Lord and just totally and absolutely abused their positions as priests. For one thing, Eli brought a stool into the tabernacle, which was never part of the original furniture. We saw that way back there in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 9. Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. There had never been a seat there before. And now there's one, and, you know, he's a heavy man, and he's sitting on that seat, and just enjoying life. It's an amazing thing. Because not only that, but he knows that his boys are up to no good. He said in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 24, it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. But you know something? Eli didn't do anything about it. He didn't intervene. He didn't pull them from the priesthood. He didn't stop them from doing what they were doing. You say, well, when young boys get up old enough, parents can no longer have that type of influence. Well, true and false. In this case, because Eli was the priest and these boys had entered into the priesthood by virtue of their birth, Eli could have easily stopped them from doing the priest's office, because He was still the high priest, and they were under his authority. He didn't stop them. And as we've seen before, they would lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they would force people to give more than their share of the offering and threaten them. Thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force. So men began to abhor the offering of the Lord. And the Lord said, I'm not going to put up with this anymore. You're done. Not only are you done, but your generations to follow are done. And so the Lord sends this man of God to Eli, and this man of God begins to ask Eli questions. We answered them very simply when we went back through the text the first time, but now that we will study the text, we may go into a little more detail. The Lord, first question he asked was, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And the answer to that question is, yes, he did. We go back here to Exodus chapter 4, and we'll notice that Aaron was the priest that was designated by the Lord, and he and Moses were the ones that approached Pharaoh with the request to go out into the wilderness to sacrifice. In Exodus chapter 4 and verse 14, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses because he kept, trying to get out of going to get those Jews out of Egypt. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. So the Lord's working that relationship right there. Then watch in Exodus chapter 4, verse 27, the Lord said to Aaron, Go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the Mount of God and kissed him. Then Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded him. And from that time then, Moses and Aaron begin to work together. And then when we get into, you know, the articles of the tabernacle and all that kind of stuff, we get into the whole thing about the priests and the priest's garments. And, you know, they come from Aaron's line and the whole thing. That's all starts up here in Exodus chapter 28. Take unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons, and thou shalt make holy garments, and so forth. Right on down the deal. And that becomes the priesthood, or the Aaronic priesthood, sometimes called the Levitical priesthood, that was given to Aaron's sons. Okay? And then he asks the next question, did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? Absolutely. When you run down through this passage that I just gave you here in Exodus chapter 28, you know what? He wears an ephod in verse 4. He also has a breastplate, a robe, a broidered coat, a mitre, a girdle. And the breastplate of judgment is on his chest. He has ouches of gold. He carries the names of Israel on his shoulders and also on his breastplate. And then it is given to him to offer all of the sacrifices, and to his sons forever to offer all of the sacrifices. And, I mean, there is so much detail in the book of Leviticus about how and when to offer those sacrifices. Verse 28 of 1 Samuel chapter 2, did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Answer, absolutely. Whenever you read, as we mentioned as we went through the text, you read these texts, there is a wave offering and there is a heave offering, and the priest's portion is set aside or designated as part of that offering. And when he gets that, it comes first of all to the Levites. The Levites have a portion. Then of their portion, there is a portion for the priests. It's known exactly what that portion is. And the priest gets to eat that sacrifice. I'll give you one example. Leviticus chapter 7, verse 5 and 6, the priest shall burn them upon the altar for an offering made by fire unto the Lord as a trespass offering. Every male among the priests shall eat thereof. It shall be eaten in the holy place. It is most holy. You see that? So this priesthood did provide a way for those that ministered to live of the ministry. Okay, there was a provision. The problem is these guys just like, that's not nearly enough for us. We're big old fat boys. We need more. So verse 29, wherefore kick you at my sacrifice and at my offering, which I've commanded in my habitation. And that's a real good question, because Hophni got fat on it and Phinehas got fat on it. When the news of the death of Hophni and Phinehas gets to Eli, he falls over backward off of that stool or off of that seat and dies. And the Bible says he was a heavy man. In 1 Samuel chapter 4, came to pass when he made mention of the ark of God that he fell from off the seat. There he is sitting on that seat, backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died, for he was an old man, watch it, and heavy. Well, these guys were getting fat off the offering of the Lord when the Bible tells us that all the fat is the Lord's. And I mean, God was just done with it. And he asks him, you honorest thy sons above me. Well, and that's true, because he let those boys stay in the ministry and he let those boys continue to eat those sacrifices and steal those offerings and lie with those women and cause men in Israel to abhor those offerings. And Eli didn't do anything about it. That's just no good report I hear of thee. So the Lord came down on him, and he said, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me. Them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. In other words, he said, I'm taking back what I said I would do before. If you read it, is Exodus chapter 27, verse 21, Exodus chapter 29, verse 5. There you see that the priesthood to Aaron is a priesthood that's supposed to go on forever. But in the case of Eli, he says, I'm making an exception. You've despised me and lightly esteemed me. I'm going to despise you and lightly esteem you. And I'm going to cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, and there shall not be an old man in thine house. Now, Eli was an old man. But he said no more. He said in verse 33, they're going to die in the flower of their age. And he goes on to say, the man of thine whom I shall not cut off from thine altar shall be to consume thine eyes and to grieve thine heart, and all the increase of thy house shall die in the flower of their age. So he said, it's just going to be a horrible situation that happens. Now, what we want to do is we want to go through and we want to look at how God fulfills several things in the priesthood and in Eli's house in Scripture. Because he still has to have an offspring of Aaron that's going to be in the priesthood forever. And he still has to have the way to fulfill this particular prophecy against Eli. And you see it unfold in the Scripture. Okay? And then we'll come back and we'll look at a few other things that he prophesies and try to finish up the lesson. Okay, one of the things that he says here is you're not going to have an old man in thine house forever. And he goes on in verse 34, he said, this is going to be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas, in one day they shall die, both of them. So, first thing we need to do is go to chapter 4, when the Philistines get the Ark of God, which was a terrible situation. And then we find out something bad happens when the ark is taken. 1 Samuel chapter 4, look at verse 17. The messenger answered and said, Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there hath been also a great slaughter among the people, and thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken. Well, as we've already read, when Eli got that news, he fell off that seat he'd been sitting on backward, and his neck broke. And he died. He was an old man and heavy, and he judged Israel 40 years. All right, so first thing that happens in fulfillment of this, and by the way, when he says he was an old man, he was, in verse 15 of 1 Samuel 4, he's 98 years old. The first thing we see is, in fulfillment of the prophecy that was given by the man of God, Hophni and Phinehas die on the same day. That's a tragedy for Eli. The second thing we see is found a little bit later. It happens during a time when David is running from Saul. The priests are down in a place called Nob. And so David has gone down there and eaten some of the showbread, and taken the sword of Goliath for his protection because he got out in a hurry. When he's down there, one of Saul's servants, who happens to be an Edomite, every time Saul won a battle and a victory, a lot of times he would keep the best soldiers from the enemy after they'd been subdued, and they would make him, he would make them his soldiers. So one of his soldiers was a fellow named Doeg, who was an Edomite. All right, and Doeg is down there and sees David. Report gets back to the king, King Saul, that David has gone down there. And Saul is so envious of David that he suspects those priests have helped David in an effort to overthrow Saul, which isn't true. So what happens in 1 Samuel chapter 22 in verse 17, the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, turn and slay the priest of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew when he fled and did not show it to me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priest of the Lord. And the king said to Doeg, turn thou and fall upon the priest. And Doeg the Edomite, since he's not a Jew, he doesn't care, turned, and he fell upon the priest and slew on that day 85 persons. That's 85 people that did wear a linen ephod. They're all priests. And Nob, the city of priests, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and sucklings, and oxen and asses and sheep with the edge of the sword. And one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priests. And David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. Abide thou with me. Fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard. All right, so what happened here is this. These priests that are killed are Eli's offspring. They're still in the ministry. And look at it. 85 of them, and guess what? They're not an old man in the bunch, just like the Lord said in 1 Samuel chapter 2. So Hophni and Phinehas die in the same day, shortly after the prophecy, when the Philistines steal the Ark of God. And then Doeg the Edomite kills 85 more when he sees David down there, and Saul becomes jealous. But then notice something. The one priest from down there in Nob that escapes is a priest named Abiathar. Okay? Well, watch what happens late in the life and the rule of David. You see, as David is basically bedridden, one of his sons, not Solomon, aspires to take the throne. His name is Adonijah. And he knows the best way to do this is to get the recognized leaders to go along with him. All right, so what he does is he gets a priest and he gets the general of the army. And this is all in 1 Kings chapter 1. The general of the army that comes with him is Joab in 1 Kings chapter 1 verse 7. And the priest is this same one that escaped from Nob, the priest named Abiathar. He conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, with Abiathar the priest, and they, following Adonijah, helped him. But Zadok the priest, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan the prophet, and Shimei, and Rei, and the mighty men which belonged to David, were not with Adonijah. Okay? So notice, there are two lines of priests working with David at this time. Abiathar and Zadok. Zadok stays with David and does not defect to Adonijah. Abiathar, who was the only one spared from Doeg the Edomite, does defect and aligns himself with Adonijah. And you know what happens? In 1 Kings chapter 2, because Abiathar defected, look at the prophecy being fulfilled. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 26. Unto Abiathar the priest said the king, this is Solomon now, get thee to Anathoth unto thine own fields, for thou art worthy of death. But I will not at this time put thee to death, because thou bearest the ark of the Lord God before David my father, and because thou hast been afflicted in all wherein my father was afflicted. So Solomon thrust out Abiathar from being priest unto the Lord, that he might fulfill the word of the Lord, which he spake concerning the house of Eli in Shiloh. So this prophecy that's given back here by the man of God is fulfilled in three parts already. Hophni and Phinehas killed the same, you know, just shortly thereafter. 85 priests killed by Doeg the Edomite at Nob. One escapes, named Abiathar, and he is put out of the ministry by Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 27. The Bible says, to fulfill the word of the Lord which he spake concerning the house of Eli in Shiloh. Amazing. Now, you know something? The priesthood goes on, right? But notice some other things that were made in this prophecy. Go back to 1 Samuel chapter 2 and look at verse 32. He says, thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation. You know what that is? That's a prophecy of the Antichrist in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3, where the Antichrist, the man of sin, the son of perdition, sits down in the temple of God professing himself that he is God. Okay? That enemy is the Antichrist. So that's the tribulation, in all the wealth which God shall give unto Israel. Okay? Now look at verse 35. I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind, and I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed. How long? Forever. Well, who is the anointed of the Lord during the millennial reign? It's Jesus Christ. And you know who the priest is going to be during that time? Well, I'm glad you asked. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 44. And as you're going to Ezekiel chapter 44, stop briefly at Ezekiel 37 and notice that during the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, David will have been resurrected and he will be serving as king under the kingship of Jesus Christ, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Ezekiel 37, David my servant shall be king over them, in verse 24. And then go to Ezekiel chapter 44 and look at verse 15. The priests, the Levites, this is all during the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok that kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near to me to minister unto me, and they shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, saith the Lord God. They shall enter unto my sanctuary, they shall come near to my table to minister unto me, and they shall keep my charge. You know why? Because this guy is not from Eli. So the priesthood continues through Zadok on into the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ when Eli's offspring was totally put out of the ministry.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages, or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible. Hallelujah.